Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this Saturday morning, July 20th, 2019. How are we doing this morning? Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Golf Ireland. There's never been a better time to tee up your trip, ireland.com. Well, so glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear us from anywhere, live, online at 883wppb.org. And each show is turned into a podcast and archived on my website at annliguori.com. Well, I'm at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, the venue for the Open Championship. Beautiful Northern Ireland. So much beauty here. So much just natural, just spectacular beauty. And Royal Portrush is one of the best and most challenging links courses on the planet. It is the only course outside of Great Britain to host the Open Championship. And this is the second time that Royal Portrush has hosted, the first being 68 years ago. And a lot has happened in this area in that time frame. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But some of the names that you'll be watching: Tiger. He has not played a tournament since competing in the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach in June. Rory McIlroy was the favorite coming in. Rory grew up nearby when he was 16 years old. He shot a 61 on this golf course during the 2005 North of Ireland Championship, and that course record has stood all these years. Rory McIlroy, the favorite coming in under so much pressure and expectation, got off to a heartbreakingly terrible start on Thursday in the first round. On the very first hole, Rory pulled his tee shot out of bounds. He was hitting an iron off the tee. It actually hit a woman in the stomach, breaking her phone, but she was okay. He took his penalty there, teed it up again, found the left rough with his third shot. Then his fourth shot became an unplayable lie. He took a drop there, played his sixth shot onto the green, and then he missed an 8-foot putt and tapped in for a quadruple bogey 8 on the first hole, par 4. Crushing to start out that way. And then he had a bogey at the third and was 5 over through 4 holes. So not a good start for Rory McIlroy. You know, as much as I like Rory McIlroy, he has just so much talent. He's such a lovely person. But I really do believe the pressure does get to him, and he hasn't been able to process that as much as he's been working on handling that, just trying to ignore all the buildup, trying to ignore all the expectation and the pressure from others, and which he puts on himself. He has not won a major in almost 5 years, and, you know, he knows. He's just so talented. Too talented not to win more. He will eventually, but, you know, we'll see how he can process, you know, all these tough moments. Two other players from Northern Ireland are delighting their hometown fans. Darren Clark, who won the Open Championship in 2011 at Royal St. George in England. He grew up in Northern Ireland. In fact, was a bartender in these parts. That Open Championship he won in 2011 was the first major win that he was able to earn after more than 20 years and 54 attempts. And he's such a likable guy. And, of course, Graham McDowell, who won the U.S. Open in 2010, he's from this area. McDowell grew up playing on the Valley course, which is actually the working man's course here, not the course that they're playing Open Championship on. In fact, McDowell's U.S. Open trophy sits in a glass case in the clubhouse at the Valley course, the Rathmore Clubhouse, which is about a quarter mile down Bushmills Road from the Grand Royal Portrush Clubhouse. So certainly a testament to McDowell staying true to his roots. He's been living in Orlando, Florida for many, many years, but he certainly considers Northern Ireland his true home. Brooks Koepka, four-time major champion, 2017-2018 U.S. Open winner, and a two-time PGA champion as well. This year's runner-up at the Masters, the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Just a major machine. Well, in addition to his fine play in majors, his secret weapon at Royal Port Rush is his caddy, Ricky Elliott. Ricky Elliott grew up in Northern Ireland and knows Royal Port Rush like the back of his hand. So a lot of great stories here. Defending champion, Francesco Molinari, always a threat. We've had a mix of weather. You know, you get 4 or 5 seasons a day here in Northern Ireland, and it's always an adventure, but just wonderful to be here at the Open Championship at Royal Port Rush. This morning, we'll visit with Bob Bubka, the voice of golf for Talk Sport Radio. Many of you know Bob Bubka from his work on the East End of Long Island. And we'll hear a segment of Rory McIlroy's press conference from earlier in the week. And you'll be able to hear in his voice how hopeful Rory, you know, is and was going into this championship, and really how truly excited he was to play a course that he played so much growing up when he shot that 61 here when he was only 16 years old. And you'll hear my chat with Eamon Lynch, a columnist for Golf Week. Eamon grew up in Northern Ireland, and he wrote a very powerful piece on what it was like growing up here during the Troubles, the turmoil, the threat of violence that clouded this country's history and continues really to cloud the country's perception, even though, you know, it's all different now and peaceful. And it you know, the history that they have suffered in this area truly makes the fact that, you know, Royal Port Rush was chosen to host this Open Championship even more amazing. So we'll get into history of this area from Eamon Lynch, a columnist for Golf Week. All that and more. But first, let me tell you that Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is also brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. That's dunejewelry.com, D-U-N-jewelry.com. And by Peak Vision sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game, peakvision.com, peakvision.com. And Sports Interview is brought to you by Peconic Bay Medical Center, the eastern hub for the world-class resources of New York's largest healthcare system, Northwell Health. Peconic Bay Medical Center, serving 250,000 East End residents. Learn more, pbmchealth.org. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. My guest, the one, the only, the legendary Bob Bubka, voice of golf for Talk Sports Radio. And everybody knows Bob from the East End of Long Island. Welcome back to Sports Interview, Bobby. So glad to have you on from Royal Port Rush in Northern Ireland.
Well, it's always an honor to be on with you, Annie. And when I can do it from an open site like Royal Port Rush, the thrill is even greater. It's just spectacular here.
Tell me a little bit about it. I had played it years ago in a driving rainstorm, so I didn't get to see much of it. Tell me a little bit about the golf course.
Well, anybody that's familiar with, you know, the magnificent golf courses that we have out east, West Hampton or Friar's Head or National or Shinnecock or Sabonic, it really has that look to it. And Tiger Woods has played it now. He got here Sunday. He's played it a few times. He thinks it's absolutely spectacular. Of course, as you know, Ann, the element that they're going to need to protect this golf course is some wind. I mean, if the wind lays down, then it's not going to be much of a test. If it gets windy, and it's certainly predicted to do that, we'll have a great examination of these best players in the world.
And what a wonderful just a, it's I understand it's the only course outside of Great Britain to host an Open Championship, and they did it once before in 1951. So the Irish just must be ecstatic that it is in, you know, Northern Ireland, back at Royal Portrush.
You're right about that, Anne. And there's one ironic part of that 1951 Open that was played here. It was won by a gentleman named Max Faulkner. He was from England. His father was a golf professional. But listen to this, Anne. I'm sure you're going to get a smile on your face. Max, all of his clubs were the same length. And now, look, it's 2019, and we have Bryson DeChambeau, a five-time winner on the PGA Tour. All of his clubs are the same length. I mean, it's amazing that you could go that far back into the 50s and find somebody that utilized the advanced thinking that Bryson DeChambeau uses.
I love Bryson DeChambeau. That's a nice nugget there, Bob. That is really a great nugget to know. Let's go back to Tiger, who you said, I read he called Royal Portrush just an unbelievable golf course. He said it can play so many different ways, obviously depending on the wind. Well, as most links courses can, but you know, Tiger hasn't played one golf tournament since the U.S. Open, and you know, he really has to basically monitor how much he plays, how much he practices. What's everybody saying about Tiger Woods coming into this Open Championship without really playing much since Pebble Beach?
Well, everybody's certainly making a big deal of it in the media. I think the only one not making a big deal is Tiger. He proclaims that he knows what his body can tolerate, and he's, you know, going along that line. He did have an interesting story to tell us, though, that he knew that Ricky Elliott, who's the caddy for Brooks Koepka, was actually born and raised here in Portrush, played this golf course hundreds and maybe even 1,000 times. And Brooks knew that he was going to have somewhat of an edge with Ricky Elliott on the bag. So Tiger sent a text last week to Brooks Koepka, and it just simply said, "Hey, dude, I'd love to schedule a practice round with you." So we then said, "Well, Tiger, what did Brooks say? And he said, "He didn't answer my text."
I love that story. And once again, Brooks Koepka, who obviously won the U.S. Open in 2018, won the PGA Championship last year as well, runner-up at the Masters, runner-up at the U.S. Open. I don't think he's going to share his secret weapon, and that's Ricky Elliott. That's for sure. I didn't expect Brooks Koepka to write Tiger back, did you?
Oh, golly, 20 years ago or 15 years ago when Tiger was in his heyday, there wouldn't be a player in the field that wouldn't dare not answer a text from Tiger. But times have changed, and Brooks Koepka is really a good guy. And Ricky Elliott is, he's a local hero, actually, in this town. And Brooks was in just a couple of minutes ago, and before I came on with you, and literally said that if he could win this Open Championship at Portrush, it would be a bigger story for Ricky Elliott than it would be for Brooks Koepka. I mean, that's a pretty amazing statement for a player to make, but they're really good friends, and they just enjoy each other's company. And Brooks Koepka explained to us that Ricky Elliott knows when to say something, knows when not to say something, knows when to be serious, and knows when to be lighthearted. And you can't ask for anything more in a caddy.
And that is such a huge advantage for any player, let alone Brooks Koepka, who, as you know, is just a major machine. So what was Brooks's attitude like this week? I'll get there actually on Friday, Bobby. So I really appreciate this preview because I'm going to miss some of these player interviews in the press conferences. So what was Brooks' attitude like today?
Well, first off, we miss you here. We look forward to seeing you on the weekend. Brooks Koepka, I would say he's very confident. Apparently, he's gotten some great information from Ricky. They formulated a game plan that they think is very solid. They're not going to deviate from that game plan. In all honesty, though, Ann, as you well know, covering as many championships as you have, When you play a link-style course, when you play an open championship, you really need the element of wind to come into play. Otherwise, it's not very exciting. And we have wind predicted. Matter of fact, Tiger is of the strong opinion that for the first 3 days, every day it's going to be in a different direction. I mean, that's as ideal as it gets. If you get a different wind, easy holes play hard and vice versa. So we'll wait and see. But it's cool today. The temperature probably only around 60 degrees for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When you're going to be here, it's going to be about the same. So I would pack a little warm clothing if I were you. And can you believe there's going to be over 200,000 spectators here for the 4 days of competition? These tickets have been sold out for a long, long time.
Yeah, I understand the RNA even, sold an additional like 15,000 tickets, which were sold out months ago as well because the original lot were sold out so quickly. So, yeah, I mean, the Irish are just ecstatic about this. Do you think the majority of those 200,000 are going to be Irish fans, or you'll draw a little bit from, other parts of the UK and maybe a big American contingency as well?
Well, if the number is 200,000, I feel very strongly 199,000 are going to be Irish because they've looked forward to this for a long, long time, and it's just going to be a wonderful celebration of golf. Every player that I've spoken to, they've commented on what a great golf course. I had the opportunity last night to sit down with Sam Torrence. We spent a couple of hours together, and he played the senior British here. I think it was back in 2004, and he explained to me what a wonderful test this is. That you play a hole one day, and the fairway bunkers don't come into play, and then the next day with a different wind, you have to avoid them at all costs because you'll have to end up taking a penalty shot. They're so severe. So it's a very colorful place. It's a very scenic place. Unfortunately, when you were here playing, it was in the rain. If you see it in the sunshine, it is absolutely incredible. Basically breathtaking is the way I would put it.
I can't wait to walk the course and see it in all its glory, hosting this Open Championship 68 years later from previously hosting it in the 50s. And just, it's just great for Irish golf. And, of course, we can't continue talking about Irish golf without bringing up Rory McIlroy, who was born and raised near Royal Portrush, and I understand he has the course record there, a 61 that he shot in 2005 at the North of Ireland Championship. And do you know how old he was when he shot that, Bobby?
16 years old.
Unbelievable.
Well, you turn 61 around, you get 16. So no surprise there. But Rory McIlroy is going to be a huge fan favorite. And interesting, what I've been saying, I'd love to get your perspective. You're well-versed, certainly, in tennis. And I think the only way that we could exceed the excitement that was generated by Djokovic and Federer this past Sunday would be for Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, tied for the lead, going into the fourth and final round, and they're in the last twosome of the day. This place would be going bananas.
Wouldn't that just be outrageous? And, Rory understands the pressure that's involved, all the expectation. He hasn't won a major title in almost 5 years, as you know, Bob. So I can't imagine how he's going to deal with, all the expectations. What do you think?
Well, you bring up a good point, Ann. I mean, it's great to be the hometown hero. All of that is great. But as you accurately pointed out, the pressure that's on Rory to do well. And I'll say this much about Rory McIlroy. most of that pressure is self-imposed. He loves this sport of golf. He loves this part of the globe. And he would dearly, dearly love to win an Open Championship in front of his hometown folks. It would be great. I mean, you know, Rory McIlroy is a class act, as you well know, and I just hope that he does really well. I think a lot of it, Ann's going to be predicated on what kind of start he gets off to on Thursday, you know, because he's going to be clapped onto that first tee. There's going to be standing ovation the entire length of that first fairway. And if he gets off to a good start, maybe gets one or two under through the first three or four holes or five holes, then I think he'll have a great week. If it starts to go sideways early, that could be a problem for Rory, because he'll be worried about letting the hometown fans down, letting himself down. So we'll have to wait and see. But it certainly has the potential to be one of the great stories in golf.
And Graham McDowell, who is just elated to have qualified based on his performance at the Canadian Open. You never know, you know, somebody like Graham McDowell with the experience and you know, with his U.S. Open win. So he knows how to perform in major championships. And, you know, but he's kind of maybe not, you know, might not have the kind of pressure and expectation that a Rory does. Maybe Graham will really play lights out this week.
Well, Graham McDowell is already in the Guinness Book of Records with having the greatest comeback in the history of mankind, because in 2006, I was asked to do Irish television for the Ryder Cup at the K Club, and alongside of me was Graham McDowell. And 4 years later, I'm interviewing him on the 18th green at Pebble Beach as he's holding the U.S. Open trophy. And I said, Graham, absolutely the greatest comeback ever. You went to having to sit alongside of me to winning the U.S. Open. That's a comeback.
Oh, well, it'll be great to see Graham play well. And I know Darren Clark's been around. Darren apparently goes to that bar, that local bar. The Ryder Cup trophy is there, a replica of it. Have you seen Darren Clark on the premises?
No. I asked Sam Torrance about him, and Sam said he sees him sometime around midnight, but I'm not qualified to stay up that late, so I haven't run into Darren yet.
How about Francesco Molinari, Bob Bubka, the defending champion?
Boy, his name has not been mentioned enough. And his game, I think, suits this layout to a T. You know how accurate he is with his irons, and that's exactly what you have to be. And the tougher this golf course gets, the better I like the chances of Francesco Molinari. I mean, and he's such a great, I mean, you know, also, and he's such a great guy. He's so good for the sport of golf that to see him win back-to-back, I would not be disappointed.
Yeah, no, he's a class act, definitely on and off the golf course, and what a talent, definitely. Who are you picking, Bobby, to? I know it's early in the week, but what are your thoughts? You've seen these guys play the big tournaments. You've seen these guys play in all kinds of conditions. Anybody in particular that you're pinpointing? Who do you think is going to win this thing?
Well, I was spending some time out in the Hamptons prior to coming over here at my brother's house, and he said to me, who did I think was going to win the Open? And I said, you know, Tom, for the first time, I really don't have a good feel on who's going to win. And he responded, he said he thinks that Jason Day is going to win. So I'm going to go with my brother's pick, Jason Day. Steve Williams on the bag, Tiger's old caddy, looking to generate some excitement. Jason Day's a world-class player. This golf course suits him to a T. Keep your eye on him.
Wow, I like that pick. I love Jason Day, first and foremost. He is just a class act himself, the nicest guy on the planet. And, yes, when he connected with Stevie, Tiger's former caddy. When I saw him at Pebble Beach together, I was shocked. But they had just at that time been talking 3 days earlier and decided that they were going to give it a try. And Jason kept saying, I better do really well, or Stevie's going to tell, you know, Stevie said, if I don't put my heart and soul into this and do everything I can to win more majors, he thinks I have the potential to win so many more, as do I. Stevie told him he would just take off and say, that's it. So I think he's put some pressure on Jason Day to really put in the practice time and really go after it. Like he knows he can.
No, you're right about that, Ann. And the best caddy scenario that I've heard recently is that Matthew Wolf, when he came out, his first event was going to be up at Hartford. I believe you were covering that. And he had the arrangements had been made for J.P. Fitzgerald, the longtime caddy for Rory McIlroy, for J.P. to hook up with Matthew Wolf. Matthew finishes 80th in Hartford and makes the announcement that he doesn't want JP as his caddy anymore. So one of the most famous caddies in the world gets fired by somebody playing their first PGA Tour event or second PGA Tour event as a professional. And then lo and behold, Matthew Wolf goes on to win the following week.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good tidbit, too. So tell me, how's it for the media there? What's the press room like? What are the hotel accommodations like? Give me the whole behind the scenes, some color there, Bobby, so we know what's going on.
Well, you look around, and there's only one thing that I see absent. They have a nice throne and a high chair with the guards attending it, and the name in front of it's Ann Liguori. So those that don't know you are anxiously awaiting for Ann to show up, and I keep telling you.
Is my booth? Do they actually have a booth for me with
heck,
my name on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, forget it. But we got an elevator taking you to your booth, and you got food service in your booth. You have it all.
Do I have a butler yet? And how's it getting in and out? Is it pretty crazy with all the spectators and ticket holders? Has the traffic been unbelievable, or is it manageable?
Well, I think they put together a wonderful game plan. We'll have to wait and see. Will it hold up as things go along? But I'm confident. The RNA, they know how to run an event. There's no doubt about that. It's just going to be wonderful. And the main thing is for you to have a safe flight over here, get over here and help me cover this thing, because, they waited a long time for it to come, as you discussed earlier in this segment. And they're going to celebrate this weekend, and you should be part of it.
I can't wait. As much as I'd love Rory McIlroy to win, Bob Bupka, my pick right now, earlier in the week, is Brooks Koepka and Ricky Elliott. I think having Ricky Elliott, as you say, who grew up there, knows Royal Port Rush like the back of his hand, having him as his caddy and just the nuances of the course and how to play it, with varying wind conditions, I think that's going to be a huge, huge advantage for Brooks Koepka, who always does well in majors. So I'll go with Brooks Koepka. You're going with Jason Day. I know we're all going to have a great time, Bobby. I look forward to seeing you this weekend at Royal Port Rush.
Well, I can't wait for you to get here. And incidentally, you said huge. I think you were referring to the limb that you've gone out on, taking Brooks Koepka, the major winning machine. But we shall see. It's going to be fun. If you love golf, watch it on TV, listen to it on the radio, catch Ann's work on WFAN. This is going to be something special.
Thanks so much, Bob Bupka. Always a pleasure to visit with you and to get you on the radio with some of your hometown fans here on the east end of Long Island. And you're doing a lot of work. I know you're busy over there. Every hour you're doing something as the voice of golf for Talk Sport Radio. You just did something with the BBC, right?
Yeah, they had me on television. It went long, and the guy said, "We got a problem. My camera broke." So that was the end of that was the end of my TV stint.
Oh, I don't want to say you have a face for radio because you're a handsome dude. So, but wow. You do well on all mediums: radio, television, internet. And a voice of golf for Talk Sport Radio, Bobby. I will see you in Northern Ireland in a couple days. Can't wait.
Have a great flight over, Ann.
And tell Janice, I really appreciate her help, and I can't wait to see you guys.
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. We're joined in the interview room by the 2014 Champion Golfer of the Year and a native son to Northern Ireland, Rory McIlroy. Rory, I think for all of us involved this week, the media, ourselves as staff and officials, this is going to be a very special week. But I think for you and the Northern Irish players, this is going to be something else. Can you talk us through the emotions of what you'll be feeling when you tee it up here tomorrow?
Yeah. I think... You know, my history maybe isn't quite as long here and, you know, at Portrush than, say, Darren or GMAC. But my first memories of Portrush are coming up here to watch my dad play in the north of Ireland. I remember chipping around the chipping green, being, you know, 7 or 8 years of age, my dad out playing on the Dunluce, and, they were sort of, you know, my summers, and then all of a sudden I got to the stage where I was playing north of Ireland, and coming up here, my dad brought me to Portrush for my 10th birthday to play, which was my birthday present. I actually met Darren Clark that day for the first time, which was really cool. So Portrush has been a very big, you know, at least the golf club has been a big part of my upbringing, and it's sort of surreal that it's here. Even driving in yesterday, you know, and you look on, you're coming in on the road and you look to the right and you've got the second tee, and I think, like, I don't know who was teeing off, it might have been like Tony Finau and someone else, so I'm like, sort of strange to see them here, but it's really cool. It just sort of shows what we've done in terms of players, GMAC winning the US Open, Darren winning the Open, and then, you know, some of the success that I've had, and how, you know, Northern Ireland has come on as a country that, you know, we're able to host such a big event here again. So delighted that it's back here, delighted to be a part of it. And, you know, at this stage, just excited to tee it up and get going tomorrow.
Great stuff. Okay, well, we'll take our first question from the right-hand side, please.
Rory, what sporting events did you go to in the area growing up? What were big sporting events in this area for you to attend, and how does this blow all those others away?
Yeah, I mean, just your normal, like, Northern Ireland football matches, Ulster rugby games. I guess that was sort of, obviously up here they've got the motorcycle racing, Northwest 200, which is pretty big every year. But yeah, that was, you know, if you really wanted to get a sense of what a huge sporting occasion was, you maybe had to go down to Dublin for an Irish rugby game, or go across the water to, you know, see, you know, Man United play or something like that. But in terms of a huge sporting event, you know, I don't think there's been one quite this big here for a long time.
Yeah, next question from the front left here, please, number one.
Hey, Rory. U.S. players, as you know, are on the verge of a sweep of the four majors for the first time since the early 1980s. With the ballyhooed return here to Royal Portrush, how important is it for you to defend the home turf and prevent this from happening?
That's not why I'm here this week. It does. And look, these things are very cyclical. You look at the European success in the majors, sort of 2010, 2011. These things happen in cycles. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it. United States have got a lot of great golfers, you look at what Brooks has done, you look at, you know, Tiger, what, you know, coming back, you know, it's just sort of, you know, these things go in stages and they go in cycles. And, you know, as I said, that's, I'm not here to defend anything or try to play. I'm, you know, here to try and win a golf tournament.
Yeah. Next question in the middle here. Jimmy.
Thanks, Mike. Rory, you've spoken in the past about how at Irish Opens, for example, you've sometimes struggled with the pressure in your shoulders. Is there anything you can do this week to maybe draw on the positive energy instead? Or is it speaking to sports psychologists? Does Harry have a role to play?
You know, I think as well, I think it's probably easier this week because it's such a big tournament. You know, there's so many, you know, you've got the best players in the world here, and I don't feel like I'm the center of attention. You know, I think that is coming back here for the first time in 68 years. It's, you know, some of the other players that are here. You know, I really don't, look, I'm from Northern Ireland and I'm playing at home, but I don't see myself as that, the center of attention, I guess. And that's why I don't, you know, I'm here to enjoy myself. You know, hopefully it doesn't take another 68 years for the tournament to come back here. So, but at the same time, you know, I mightn't get an opportunity to play an Open Championship here again. You know, you never know what happens. So I'm really just treating it as a wonderful experience and one that I really want to enjoy, you know. And, you know, I'm going to love being out there and having the crowds and having the support. And, you know, if that can't help you, then, you know, nothing can.
Okay, next question at the front, please.
Rory, our friends at CBS did some number crunching on strokes gained, and this season you're number one, and it's the fourth best since strokes gained began. How much confidence has that given you for this week, and is that where you feel your game is?
Yeah, I do. I think it's the probably the most consistent period of golf I've ever played. And yeah, you know, you look at my, you know, I'm a big, I use strokes gained numbers a lot in terms of, you know, what am I doing well in, what needs improvement, you know, what am I going to go practice this week to get ready for next week, or, you know, whatever it may be. So I, yeah, the strokes gained numbers this year, and I've had a goal, you know, if you're consistently around 2.5 strokes gained, I mean, that's a really nice place to live. You know, you're going to have a nice life if you're 2.5 strokes gained every time. So, you know, I'm sort of pushing up towards the 3 mark at this point this year. And I know if I keep doing that, then the wins will come and, you know, everything else sort of just falls into place.
Just a wee follow-up. What was with the washing machine on the top yesterday?
Nike sort of doing what they do, and you know, they've sort of came out with this Nike polo, and, you know, they've got some logos. Tiger sort of wore the Tiger head cover, and they wanted to do something a little special for me this week. So I thought washing machine was pretty. That's a, you know, I grew up here, long winter nights hitting golf balls into my mum's washing machine. So it was a nice little touch.
Next question on the right, Neil.
Just on the crowd again, you've always performed well home Ryder Cups with the support as well. Do you think it's something similar? You can channel that energy in your game over the 4 days?
No, I don't think this is anything like a Ryder Cup. It's, you're playing for yourself. You're playing, you know, it's not the same. I wouldn't want to turn this into a Ryder Cup, you know, mindset, because I think that's hard to sustain for 4 days. Again, I'm just treating this like any other Open Championship. You know, I've played well here the last few years. I've played well on this golf course, so I just got to go out and hit the shots and stay in the present. And, you know, if I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, hopefully by Sunday night that'll be good enough.
Doug, back right, please.
Rory, how many rounds have you played here in recent months getting ready for this Open, and how does that compare with the way you've prepared for previous Opens?
So I came here to do I played the week after the Ryder Cup, just for a commercial sort of thing. I played last Saturday, and then I played yesterday. So is that 3 times in the last year? And that's sort of similar to what I would usually do at any other Open Championship. Yeah, I feel like you can, for me sometimes, you know, you play a golf course so much you start looking at the places where you don't want to hit it. So, you know, I'd rather just, you know, I've played well here before. I know what I'm doing around here. I mean, I sort of was worried. I got here last Saturday thinking, you know, the course is going to change. The setup for an Open might be different. And I got here, and it's, like, still the same place. I mean, you know, I said this last week. I had dinner booked with my – I hadn't seen my mum in 3 months. I had dinner booked with my parents on Saturday night at 8 o'clock thinking, you know, I'm going to have to spend some time around the greens and just prepare. And I got on the road back home and rang them and said, can we move dinner up because I finished early. It's just sort of – you know, there's no difference. It's just, it's the same golf course. So I was sort of, I think I was making it a little bit bigger in my head than it needed to be. And, you know, I've played this place enough times to know where to miss it, where not to miss it, you know, where the good leaves are. And, you know, no matter if there's grandstands around or if there's not, or if there's a lot of people or if they're not, it's the same golf course.
Hi, Rory. Legacy is a word that's bandied around by guys like me a lot. I just wonder what you think and hope the legacy of the Open Championship being here in Portrush might be medium and long term, and how might that be ramped up if you were to lift the claret jug here on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a... In golfing terms, I think, you know, its legacy, you know, could be, you know, young boys and girls, you know, are you know, keen to pick a golf club up and play. And not that, you know, I feel a lot of, you know, a lot of people I know and their kids and, you know, they all play golf. I feel like golf is a very accessible sport here, which is, you know, I'm very fortunate that I grew up here because it was so accessible and you didn't have to come from money or anything to play the game. So I think, you know, no matter what happens this week and if I win or whoever else wins, having the Open back in this country is a massive thing for golf. And I think as well it'll be a massive thing for the country. You know, if it's a, you know, sport has a unbelievable ability to bring people together. And, you know, we all know that, you know, this country sometimes needs that, and you know, this has the ability to do that. And you know, talking of legacy, you know that could be the biggest impact this tournament has outside of sport, outside of everything else, is the fact that you know people are coming here to enjoy it and have a good time and sort of forget everything else that sort of goes on.
Okay, briefly, number two at the front.
Yeah, Rory, you almost touched on it a little bit there, but and at the start, but you know, this sort of thing would never, this sort of event would never have happened in Northern Ireland when you were a very young kid. And what do you think it means to the people in Northern Ireland in a broader context that it can be here after the years of troubles, etc.?
I think it just means people have moved on. You know, it's a different time. It's a very prosperous place. I'm very fortunate that I grew up in a just outside Belfast, and I never seen anything. I never, you know, I was oblivious to it. I remember I watched a movie a couple of years ago, and it was just basically called 71, and it's about a British soldier that gets stationed at the Palace Barracks in Hollywood, which is literally 500 yards from where I grew up. And it basically follows him on a night of the Troubles and all that. And I remember asking my mum and dad, like, is this actually what happened? And it's amazing to think that 40 years on, it's such a great place. No one cares who they are, where they're from, what background they're from, but you can, you know, have a great life, and you know, it doesn't matter what side of the street you come from. And I think that's what I was talking about legacy of this tournament. You know, to be able to have this tournament here again is, I think it speaks volumes of you know, where the country is and where the people that live here are now. You know, we're so far past that, and you know, that's a wonderful thing.
And final question, please.
I mean, in this press conference, there's been so much talk about the location and the locals and the legacy and everything like that. Is there a danger that once you get out there, this just becomes this great celebration of Irish golf and of yourself and of everything that's happened, and it begins to feel less like the sort of cold, you know, cold sort of hearted major that it needs to be for you?
I don't know. You know, I you know, that can go one of two ways, right? You know, I've always felt that I've played my best golf when I've been totally relaxed and loose, and you know, maybe that environment is what I need. You know, that you know, I'm not saying that that's the way I'm going to approach it. I'm still going to go out and try to shoot good scores and concentrate and do all the right things. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's, I can't just put the blinkers on and pretend that that's not all going on. You know, I still have to, you know, one of my sort of mantras this week is, you know, is look around and smell the roses. You know, it's a, you know, this is a wonderful thing for this country and golf in general, and to be, you know, quite a big part of it is an honor and a privilege. And, you know, I want to keep reminding myself of that, you know, this is bigger than me, right? This is bigger than me. And I think if you can look at the bigger picture and you can see that, you know, it sort of takes a little bit of the pressure off. So, you know, I still want to play well and concentrate and do all the right things, but at the same time, you know, just having that perspective, you know, might just make me relax a little bit more.
Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is brought to you in part by Golf Ireland. There's never been a better time to tee up your trip, ireland.com. Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is also brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. That's dunejewelry.com, dunejewelry.com. And by Peak Vision sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game, peakvision.com, peakvision.com. And Sports Interview is brought to you by Peconic Bay Medical Center, the eastern hub for the world-class resources of New York's largest healthcare system, Northwell Health. Peconic Bay Medical Center, serving a 250,000 East End residents. Learn more, pbmchealth.org. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria. And I am delighted to say good morning to Eamon Lynch, who is a columnist for Golf Week. And Eamon is from Northern Ireland, where Royal Portrush is. Eamon, thanks so much for joining me on Sports Interview.
My pleasure, Anne.
I read your piece. A lot of people read your article in Golf Week about what it was like growing up in Northern Ireland during, in quotes, the Troubles. And just a very fascinating read and very educational, very insightful to kind of tell the rest of the world what it really was like there. And because of all the trouble, how amazing it really is that Royal Portrush is hosting these Open Championships.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a population of 1.5 million people in Northern Ireland, and we would never actually have dreamed it was even possible to have three major championship winners from Northern Ireland. But the very idea that they could actually be contesting a major championship in their own country would have, you know, if you'd suggested that 20 years ago, you really would have been sent to the insane asylum. It was just such a laughable notion. And I think it's remarkable the journey that has happened for this place to get to the point that we're at, where, you know, tomorrow morning Darren Clark is going to step onto the first tee and hit the first tee shot of the Open Championship. And Darren Clark came closer than any other golfer to dying during the Troubles here, because he worked as a bartender when he was a teenager, and the bar he was working in was evacuated with a bomb threat, and it turned out that the bomb in the bar was hidden under the bar that Darren Clark had been walking past for hours while he was working behind it. So there's a certain, I guess, circular nature to having Darren Clark be the guy to hit the first shot in a tournament that kind of signals how far this country has actually come.
Unbelievable. I didn't know that about Darren Clark. Has he talked about that this week?
It hasn't been brought up in his press conference this week, certainly not. He has actually spoken about it in the past, but he does it with the same kind of self-effacing manner that everyone who survived the Troubles in Northern Ireland does, because it's really hard to sit and tell a story about how you survived what happened here for 25 years when there are so many who didn't. So Darren doesn't really talk about it very often, but he has in the past.
You talked about in your article, August 31st, 1994, the Irish Republican Army ceasefire, then the Good Friday Agreement, which followed in 1998, on April 10th. You know, people just don't realize how much conflict there really was for so long there. And the fact that, you know, people our age, you know, suffered through it. What was it like for you growing up with such a threat every day?
Well, the violence itself was never that pervasive in the grand scheme of things. For most of my childhood, the death toll per year totaled around 100, which was quite infamously described, as I mentioned in the article, by a British government official as an acceptable level of violence, which is fine unless you're related to those 100 people. But the threat of violence and what it does to a society was much more noticeable. It really does metastasize into every aspect of day-to-day life here and creates a kind of a wariness and a suspicion in the people here that has never really been shaken off. You can still sense it. There is a little bit of a sinister air in Northern Ireland to this day. It's a remarkably different place from what it was. It's still an incredibly divided society. I mean, it has not had a functioning government sitting for now 2.5 years. And I think there's a kind of a sense that the tourist industry this week is kind of trying to avoid even discussing the past of Northern Ireland or even its current difficulties on the assumption that it somehow undermines or undervalues the accomplishment of having the Open here, which is really nonsense. It doesn't. You don't have to pretend that Northern Ireland is something other than what it is to acknowledge the fact that this Open is a remarkable event and is almost certainly going to be a huge success.
Sure, and you point that out in the piece. But the people who are there who are of age to have lived through it, you still feel that there's that feeling of anything can happen or suspicion, as you may call it. I mean, do you still feel it in the air when you're in Northern Ireland with people who lived through it?
It really depends on the generation that you're talking about. If you looked at, say, Rory in his press conference today mentioned having recently rented a movie called 71, which follows a British soldier during a night in the Troubles in 1971. And he did so because this soldier was based at Palace Barracks in Hollywood, which was, he said, 500 yards from where he grew up. And he ended up afterwards calling his parents to say, is this what it was really like then? Because Rory's of that kind of post-ceasefire, post-conflict generation. He remembers absolutely nothing of it. Graham McDowell, he turns 40 next week. He's, you know, 10 years older than Rory. He was 15 when they called the ceasefire. So he has a different perception of the Northern Ireland he grew up in. It's very different from Rory's. And Darren Clark, who's, you know, 11 years older again, has another radically different version of what it was. You know, the conflict itself kind of ebbed and flowed. And I think it's very noticeable to me when you're talking to someone of Rory's age or even my own nephews or nieces, they're utterly oblivious to the conflict. They're not defined by it in any way, but their parents would be, perhaps not defined by it, but they would be very conscious of what happened and the effect it had on people. And, you know, we live in a country over here where people of a certain age can still deduce certain assumptions about the beliefs of some stranger that they come upon. And an example I've used with friends this week, you know, when I was growing up here in the 80s, early 90s, if I got out of a flight at Belfast Airport and got into a cab, and the cab driver had asked me had I just flown in from the mainland, I would have automatically assumed with almost complete certainty that that cab driver was Protestant, because no Catholic in Northern Ireland would ever use the term mainland to describe Britain. So, you know, there are these little nuances and language and gestures that to the untrained ear mean absolutely nothing. But to people who have their kind of code and language defined by what happened here for 25 years, they can still read those signals. Thankfully, fewer and fewer people actually speak in that language anymore. We're kind of moving on from it for the most part. But it still was the defining characteristic of so many people's lives.
Oh, certainly. Years ago, and I've been going to Ireland, you know, as a guest of Tourism Ireland for 20, 25 years. They've been a sponsor of my television shows, my radio shows. So, but even years ago, Eamon, they would never even send me to Northern Ireland. There were parts of Ireland and Northern Ireland, obviously, that were off limits. And then I started going, and I would meet, you know, some of these directors of golf and head pros who were either English or Scottish, and they definitely had an air about them. And you could definitely immediately as an American, naive to the political situation over there, you definitely could hear and feel a difference.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've come across Wilma Erskine, the legendary secretary here at Royal Port Rush.
Sure, I love Wilma.
Wilma's been in the job for 35 years. And last year, Wilma hired a new young man who was working in the bookings department. And she told me over drinks in Florida earlier this year, kind of a funny story, because she took down one of the old handwritten ledgers in which tea times were kept for so many years, which was a very thick book, and she pushed it across the table to him and told him to find one American four-ball that was booked in that year. And it was 1985. He found one. And there wasn't even a four-ball. They couldn't fill it. It was three golfers.
Wow.
So when you get from that point to where it is now, and again, this is where perception and reality kind of part ways, because tourists were never in danger here, other than if they were totally unlucky to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But they were never under a direct threat in Northern Ireland. But the reputation that Northern Ireland had was so much worse than what the actual level of violence was in the grand scheme of things. And we only made the nightly news. We didn't make sports highlights. We're going to this week. We weren't doing ESPN. It was, CBS covering another tragedy of some kind, and that distorts the perception of what the actual danger is represented by the conflict here. And I think that's what hurt business, society,
absolutely,
cultures for so many years, and it certainly hurt the golf industry.
And the perception exactly that the American tourists had of Northern Ireland based on the conflict. And it just makes the fact that Royal Port Rush is hosting this, grand championship even just more special, because they had to overcome that perception.
They did, and they also had to overcome a certain reticence with the RNA, and I'm sure there's competition from other courses in the British Isles that would like to, not have Royal Port Rush suddenly added to the rota, because, it means less slice of the pie for them. And a lot of people will credit the coming of the Open here to GMAC, Rory and Darren Clark winning majors within a 13-month span in 2010, 2011. And
sure,
a lot of credit to it also goes to Wilma Erskine, who kind of ploughed that lonely furrow on her own for a long, long time and was laughed at, openly laughed at in meetings for even dreaming of having an Open here. But I think what was decisive was when they did the Irish Open here in 2012, because they proved that they could stage an event. They proved that they could draw in a monster crowd to support it for the week, which was approaching 250,000 at the time, which the Irish Open had just simply never seen crowds like that, even back in the days when Seve and Faldo were winning the tournament. So they had taken literally every hurdle that could be presented, from the asinine to the tragic. Royal Port Rush and the people here who are behind it had managed to kind of hurdle over them and get to where the point where we are now, where we are basically only a few hours away from this tournament getting underway.
And Wilma deserves, I see that there have been many articles written about Wilma, and rightly so. She deserves all the, all the recognition she's getting at this point. It's I'm so happy for her that she is finally getting the recognition for really doing so much to bring the Open Championship to Royal Port Rush. You mentioned Ricky Elliott and the story about Brooke Koepka's caddy, mm-hmm, having to advise Ricky Fowler not to wear orange. I mean, just things like that you'd never know if you're an American, but that was a good move on Ricky's part and on both Ricky's parts.
And the thing is, even if, orange and green are obviously the traditionally politically loaded colors over here, and Ricky Fowler's been known to dress in head to toe in both, and if he were to do that here, the reality is people would just laugh at him, because it would be, as I pointed out in that story, we really only fought with ourselves. Everyone else is just there for entertainment value. So Ricky would, if he were to show up in head to toe orange, probably would just simply be laughed at as some kind of clownish figure worthy of a joke. I don't necessarily think anybody in the crowd would take it as some kind of insult, whereas they would if it was their neighbor doing it, parading up and down their own street.
You spent the day walking with Rory McIlroy. Obviously, all the pressure is on Rory's shoulders. He grew up near Royal Port Rush. He's so talented. He has not won a major title in nearly 5 years. What are your thoughts about Rory and how he will handle all the pressure this week?
Well, I was asking him, was he seriously, when he said earlier today that he just treats it like any other tournament, and he said he does. It feels like any other Open Championship to him. He's very conscious of the fact that people are trying to paint him into this kind of corner. And the column I just filed for Golf Week gets into this, because it was like watching a prize fighter dodging and weaving today in his press conference, because all of these questions were, they weren't necessarily loaded, but they were leading. And they were trying to get Rory to, you know, adopt some kind of role beyond just being a competitor, that he was playing for some greater cause or greater gesture, which is an unfair position to put him in. And he's always rejected for his entire adult life this effort to try to make him into some kind of quasi-political figure, even if it's a positive one. And he said he, for the last 2 days he's been on site, this has felt like any other Open Championship. He's determined not to kind of get into anything beyond that. He said that might feel differently tomorrow, but it certainly doesn't feel any different to him at this point. But I think he's very much aware of the idea that people would like it to be more about him. All he cares about is winning the tournament. And beyond that, you know, he can't define the narrative that other people are going to try to put on him, but he doesn't have to accept it. And I think that's the strategy he's taking.
That's right. And as far as accepting, you know, the expectations, I mean, it's a full-time job and effort probably to diffuse that alone. So if he can not think about that, the pressures and expectations, and just go out there and play his own game, and that's hard to do. The only one that I've seen do that really well is Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods. So if Rory can accomplish that mental part of the game, I think he has a good shot this week.
Yeah, I think he's, and he, this also speaks to the whole sort of movement he's been on this year about trying to find that kind of work-life balance that everyone looks for, and trying not to define himself by what happens on the golf course. And if he's that determined and successful at not defining himself by what happens on the golf course, then he sure as hell not going to let anyone else define him by what happens on the golf course, whether he wins this week or not.
I know you're in a time crunch. Before I let you go, Eamon, who do you predict? It's early in the week. Who do you predict to win this week? Do you have a favorite?
Well, you know, Rory has to be considered the tournament favorite. I mean, even Rory's caddy has played this course better than most of the guys in the field have. Harry Diamonds was a very competitive amateur player here for many years. But I named Rory as my long shot earlier this week purely because of the pressure that I think will build on him during the week. And I think that's going to be a little bit of an onerous burden. So I went with Eddie Pepperell as my pick because, you know, Eddie's played well on links courses. He's had a couple of very high finishes in the Irish Open. He was T4 at Lahinch a couple of weeks ago. And this golf course is remarkably similar to Lahinch because you will not see it play like a traditional open links course. There are a lot of false fronts on these greens at Portrush, a lot of upslope. So people won't be playing those traditional old run-on shots that land 50 yards short of the green and ride the contours all the way on. And that's kind of what Lahinch is like. It's a course for guys who drive it in the fairway, who are in a good position to then carry the ball all the way onto the green, as opposed to chunking it out of the rough and letting it run up there. And Eddie Pepperell, to me, seems like the kind of guy who's ready to make some buzz or generate some attention for something other than dancing along the third rail of Twitter all the time. And I think he's got the game to do it.
Well, we'll see if you're right. Eamon Lynch, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you in person this weekend at Royal Portrush, and I really enjoy your work. Keep up the great work. Columnist for Golf Week, and look forward to connecting with you again on Sports Interview.
Thanks, Anne. Appreciate it.
My thanks to Bob Bubka, voice of golf for Talk Sport Radio, to Eamon Lynch, columnist for Golf Week, and to our engineer, Kyle Lynch. Enjoy the Open Championship from Royal Portrush here in Northern Ireland. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll talk to you next Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.